Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely fantastic day today. It's actually decent weather down here in Florida, which is nice. It's hot, but it's not raining, and it's not stifling hot yet. So it's a great morning. We're getting a lot of everybody's shipments out, staying busy down here. And again, we thank you for the support, and I thank you for all the emails that I've been getting over the last couple days. A lot of feedback on the shows. I really appreciate that. And Dad, how are you doing today?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. I mean, it's 67 degrees outside, clear blue skies. I mean, this is stunning. I mean, now I'll be in Florida here tomorrow, so people will be saying, how are you doing today? And I'm like, I'll be telling them that it's unbelievably hot, but I'm still having a great day. So remember, guys, it doesn't matter what the temperature is. That shouldn't affect your attitude. For this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. By the way, this is an interesting article out of the Washington Examiner. I'm going to get here. I'm going to meddle just a little bit. I'm not saying that it's true. I'm not even saying that I'm agreeing with it. I'm just going to comment on it. It's from the Examiner, and it's a Mariana Williamson dark psychic form. That's an article by Caitlin Yickley, probably a liberal.
Hey, bud, I'm losing you. I got a horrible connection with you. I can't hear anything you're saying. You're going to have to either reconnect or get something. You're pretty much gone. Todd, am I live still? All right. Sorry about that, guys. He'll be back tomorrow, so at least for a while we're going to be done with this back and forth, losing service all the time. One news, though, he'll get into whatever he was talking about when he comes back. Something that I thought that was quite interesting is, you guys remember the beginning of the year, Procter & Gamble did a giant ad campaign for Gillette, and Gillette put out an ad that was basically following the, it was called Woke Gillette ad campaign, and it went into detail basically on men and how they need to shave their toxic masculinity, and it did a full commercial basically with all these feminist talking points and all these subtle psychological clips in there and a bunch of propaganda, basically how men are bad and men shouldn't do this and men need to completely change their entire actions. And remember, this Gillette, this is for men that still shave with a razor, and I've actually always enjoyed Gillette razors up until this ad came out, and it was ironic because this ad ended up being one of the most hated ads in YouTube history as far as the most thumbed downs. I mean, it got absolutely eviscerated to the point that one of my buddies sent me an article showing how YouTube actually had to go in, whether or not Gillette bought it or not, and was actually trying to buy thumbs up to try to counteract, because they'd go in, and all of a sudden the thumbs up would go up like 20,000 thumbs up over like a period of 5 minutes, which is virtually impossible. But then the thumbs down, they could not even keep up with it on how many people hated the ad. Well, good news to everyone, including myself, that said we were no longer going to support a company that was blatantly against men, essentially just being grown, respectful men. They reveal now that Procter & Gamble on Gillette took a $5.24 billion loss this quarter, ending on June 30th now, over the second quarter, over last quarter, the beginning of the quarter. So they took over a $5 billion hit because of that stupid ad campaign. I did not know this. I never even saw this ad because apparently it got very little publicity. They tried to keep it hush-hush. But Gillette also, after they did that ad, back in April then, they released another ad with another woke commercial with a dad teaching his transgender son to shave for the first time. It was actually his daughter who was essentially taking hormone replacement therapy and getting facial hair. He was teaching her how to shave. Now, I never saw this ad. I never knew it came out. Apparently, it was a much, 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 much more subliminal ad that they did not get a lot of recognition on. But again, this goes to show you, when you see levels like this drop, I mean, that's $5 billion in one quarter. You're talking about a serious drop in sales. And of course, they'd come up and said, oh, it's due to a foreign exchange fluctuation and an increased competition. Yeah, it's because everybody started going to the competition because they didn't want to support a company that was blatantly derogatory, disrespectful, and sexist towards men, especially when your main and pretty much only demographic is grown men that shave with razors still. So kudos to the American population for no longer supporting the company that blatantly goes against your morals and ethics, that being Gillette. $5.2 billion loss in one quarter. Hope it's more on the next. Just wanted to put that out there because I thought that was really intriguing, Dad, that the American population actually is still awake enough to stop buying products when they're that disrespectful of a company as putting out ads like they did back in January.
We, you know, Austin, the thing that's so crazy about all of this stuff that, you know, you've got people in the, they're obviously hardcore socialist communist weirdos. I mean, that's all you can say. Or you've got people that are at the CEO position. And I did a show with you a year or so ago, year and a half ago, in which I actually listed a whole bunch of the people who were the CEOs and top execs in about 15 different companies. I actually listed them by name, and I gave you their religious background. And we got a lot of people really mad about that. And I'm like, I'm just reading you what they are. I'm reading you off their Wikipedia page. And it was interesting to me that, you know, we got so much negative blowback from that. And all we were doing was telling the truth. Now, you guys who listened to that show a year and a half ago, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to do it again. But you get a lot of these people who are these Sabbatean Frankists, these people that are part of the Frankfurt School, these people that are hardcore socialist communists, because of corporate buyouts, because of interlocking corporate directorships, and they get pushed up into position where they're making these decisions, and they're doing it on a national basis for a company such as Gillette, to use an example. And what ends up happening is they make really poor decisions, and they don't really care about the market share they lose. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. These companies basically are, you know, are publicly owned. So if they lose 5.4 billion in sales or whatever they do, or their stock prices drop, they were willing to sacrifice that for the publicity of what they had and to try to change the mindset, the psyche of the American population to accept what they were saying in the ad. Because what happens is 100% of the people did not reject that ad. It did not have 100% thumbs down. There was still a certain percentage of the millions of people who watched that ad who said, yeah, that's right. That's the group they're going after. You have to understand that. So they're trying to re-galvanize their belief structure into that group to make them more and more and more liberal, more and more militant. And this is what they want. And so they're happy to sacrifice X amount. Remember, when the international banking cartels own almost all of these corporations anyhow, it doesn't matter to them if they lose $5 billion, if they're worth hundreds of quadrillions of dollars. They don't care. They don't care. It's insignificant. It's the continual breakdown of the fabric of society. It's the continual shocking the people with electrodes until they finally submit. That's what it is. That's what this is. Because remember, you know, these guys, they started off, you know, with Ellen DeGeneres, you know, back in the 90s, coming out as being lesbian, you know, one of the most popular talk show hosts out there and TV hosts that people out there. And then all of a sudden they started giving, then Roseanne does the big kiss on TV and all the other stuff that happens little by little. And when you first happen, when this first happens, Austin, everybody goes, oh my God, this is horrible, horrible, horrible. But then gradually now we have Disney coming out with a show with open homosexual boy, teenager gays. And you're like, what the heck? It took 30 years. It took 30 years, but they did it. They got it going. They got it going. That one perverted show, Friends, that was on. That one time when What's-His-Face was there and there were two lesbians. And I mean, it's a big, all of this stuff has been planned and plotted by these Luciferians to continually to erode the society of the United States of America. And they've done a good job of it. I have to give them credit. I mean, they you know, you want to say, well, this is horrible. It's horrible. The problem is not enough of us have stood for this, have stood. We haven't stood. We've allowed it. We've capitulated. We said, okay, they're doing it, whatever, as long as it doesn't affect me, whatever, you know. But all of a sudden, it's like, now it's affecting you. Now it's affecting me. Now it's affecting our children and our grandchildren. And now we're like, what the heck? See, that hole in that dike should have been plugged 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, but it didn't. And so they constantly push the envelope until they can make every thought of every man evil all the time. Now I'm going to go back to what I was talking about earlier with Marianne Williamson, with Trump unfolding a dark psychic force in America. Now, here's what she says. She goes, this is the part of the dark underbelly of American society, the racism, the bigotry, and the entire conversation that we're having here tonight. If you think of this, any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force of the collectivized hatred that is present is bringing up in this country, then I'm afraid the Democrats are going to see some very dark days, she said in the second debate Tuesday night. Now, I want to comment on this. Now, I got to stop for one second. Number one, as Christians, I have told you guys, and I have explained to you guys, and I have shared with you guys, and I have prayed with you guys, that when we pray and we do things, it creates scalar waves. And scalar waves change the fabric of time-space. Right? We literally change our physical reality by the words that we speak and by the prayers that we pray. Okay, that's faith. Faith allows that to happen. And, of course, angels working on our behalf, Holy Spirit working on our behalf, all of the things that we talk about in depth on this show. But here's what we can't do. We can't pray negative stuff towards people. We can't curse people. We can't pray that people die. We can't pray that people get sick. We can't pray stuff like that. That's witchcraft. Because you can pray like that and things happen. I'm not joking. Things can happen. We'll just be praying like that because it's the power of what you do with the scalar waves. But that's not what we're called to do. We're Christians. We're called to love one another. We're called to forgive one another. You can pray that people get exposed. That's fine. I pray that, that the witch of Benghazi gets exposed for everything she's done. She has to be held accountable in a court of law for that. That's okay. But you don't pray the witch of Benghazi dies or she has some horrible disease or whatever. You don't pray that. All you do is just pray that she gets exposed and people see the truth. The veil around their eyes is lifted. Because remember, the God of this age has put a veil around the hearts and the minds of the unbeliever, and some Christians too, by the way. I hate to say that. I'm going to throw that in there for just a second. So they cannot see or know the truth. And that's why they follow these guys who are in the pulpits, who don't preach the word of God, who don't preach Christ crucified, who don't preach repentance. And so what ends up happening is you might say they claim to be a Christian, but they haven't had a true conversion. So in essence, they really aren't a Christian with a veil around their eyes. They're a non-Christian who thinks they're a Christian with a veil around their eyes. And I'm not going to go into very much depth on that because it's going to get a lot of people really hacked off at me because I'm not going to do that. Because there are a lot of people out there that are just misinformed. And they're not stupid. They're just ignorant. They haven't read certain articles. They don't understand certain things. They don't understand that fluoride is a neurotoxin. They don't understand that children who get too many vaccines can come down with autism. And see, like yesterday, I'm walking through a Lowe's, it's a hardware store, and the guy was there with this good-looking, beautiful little 24-month-old little boy. I mean, he was smart, sharp, and I asked him, I said, can I ask you a question? I said, how are you doing as far as immunizations? Oh, he's on a shot schedule. And I said, you know what? You might want to think about staggering that. I didn't tell him not to do it. I said, you might want to watch the movie Vaxxed. I said, you might want to realize that about 1 in 32 boys and up to 132 boys over in New Jersey now are coming down with autism. I said, that's like having 32 light switches and you flip one of them on and your son's got autism. I said, you might want to do some research on that. And Austin was like looking at a person like a calf at a Newgate. He acted like he had never heard. And you've got to be living under a rock not to realize that there's some type of controversy going on with vaccines right now. I mean, under a deep rock, a big rock. So this is that veil that these people simply can't see. And I know pastors' children who weren't vaccinated who vaccinated their kids. So we talked about this in depth yesterday when you choose a spouse. That's a very important question to ask. But again, we've accepted this. We've accepted the fact that these people are going to inject us with something that we don't know what it is because they're telling us it's for our safety. And you're like, okay, well, I really would like to know what you're putting in me. Is that asking too much, everybody? Is it asking too much to know what's in the vaccine? I mean, they put that poster up in Australia last year. What's in your vaccine? All HE double sticks broke loose. They had to put that billboard. They had to bring it down almost immediately for asking what's in the vaccine. Just asking that. Why? Because they don't want you to wake up from your trance. A lot of people are just in a trance. They don't know the truth because the truth will set them free. But the evil one has intentionally masqueraded the truth and have done things to prevent everybody from knowing what's really going on and what the truth really is. So always remember, guys, we have to be seeking God's will. We have to be reading His Word, and we have to be educating ourselves. But she said this dark force is emboldening, a dark psychic force in America. Now, and then she's saying it's all the stuff with the racism and all that kind of stuff. Let me say something to you guys. Israel is one of the most racist countries in the world. I'm going to come out on the record as saying that. What they've done to the Arabs and what they've done to the Palestinians over there is a form of apartheid. But because a lot of these guys are dual citizenships with Israel, they won't bring it up. They won't talk about it. And there are other countries in the world that are extremely, extremely racist. And so when we say that we're being racist in this country because we don't like the Democratic platform, because it makes us a racist, makes us a bigot, makes us whatever, they're grasping at straws. They're throwing. This started with Obama. This big racist thing started with Obama. If you don't like something Obama did when he was president, when the Gay Canyon was there, it was like, you're a racist. You're like, I'm not a racist. Yeah, you're a racist. You don't like Obama. I didn't say I didn't like Obama's skin color. I just don't like his policies. Oh, you're a racist. You didn't agree with what Obama said. And they got so much traction from this. Same thing with anti-Semitism. You're an anti-Semite. You're like, wah! You know, what anti-Semite, what does that mean? Well, you don't like Jews. I never said I didn't like Jews. I didn't say that. Well, it doesn't matter. You're an anti-Semite. We think you are. Well, great. I'm happy you think I am, but I'm not. Like, I'm not a racist. It's the titles. And what happens is when they take that and they put that on national TV or national radio and they slam you with that title, they marginalize you. Listen to me, friends. They marginalize you. That's why nobody wants to touch those topics. Because you get marginalized. Oh, well, he's just a racist, or he's just a bigot, or he's just an anti-Semite. And you're like, well, I'm not a racist, I'm not a bigot. I am a bigot. A bigot means I'm diametrically opposed to some people's value systems, like guys who like to screw little boys. I'm a bigot. I just didn't see those people go on trial and get the death penalty, okay? So if I'm bigoted toward them, that's absolutely true. You can say that. But I'm not a racist, and I'm not an anti-Semite. See, this is the thing that people need to understand. They use the term bigot to try to make you change what you believe as far as what the Bible says and what the Word of God says. I'm bigoted towards anything the Bible forbids. I'm bigoted towards it. I don't like it. I don't want any part of it. All of the stuff that you read in Leviticus and Deuteronomy about the weird stuff and the sins that were going on. Remember what we talked about last week. Before the law had been given to Moses, remember, thousands of years of earth history had already gone past. Okay, and we already had the flood, all of it. People didn't know what the law was. They didn't know what God expected from them. Because God, basically, in the Garden of Eden, God, you know, when the thing happened with Lucifer, you know, these people just took off on their own track. And finally, God had enough of it and fixed it with the flood. We got rid of this bad DNA, this bad Nephilim DNA. And when that happened, God then tried to fix it again by giving these people what they should and shouldn't do with his prophets. And again, they didn't listen. And then Noah came, the flood happened, then Moses came. Then he finally gave us the Word, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the five books of Levitical law, the five first books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and he laid out his laws. He said, okay, look, here's the deal. You don't want to eat pork. And later he tells you it's going to cause long-wasting diseases, you know, basically cancer. You're going to get all these horrible things. Don't eat it. Don't eat these things, okay? Don't kill. Yeah, you know, don't steal. You know, like, how about not committing adultery? How about not coveting? How about remember the Lord thy God to keep it holy, to honor him? How about honor your parents and your mother? How about that? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. How about we do those things so you guys have a template to follow? See, that's what we have. We have a group of laws, rules, regulations in the Old Testament and in the Pentateuch, the Torah, that basically tell us what we should and shouldn't do. And then we also have the expose of that in the New Testament when Christ comes in with the Beatitudes and all the other things that he says. And he says, look, the whole thing is they will know you because you love one another. See, and this is the key that we have to understand, is that we have to continue to bring honor and glory to God in all that we do, think, and say. Now, is that easy? No. No. Not at all. But it doesn't matter. If you miss it every once in a while, God's grace is sufficient for you. It doesn't make any difference. You can continue to... none of us are perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to say things we should not say. You know, if you hit your hand with a hammer and you smash a finger, you may say a bad word. You go, well, you shouldn't say a bad word. Okay. Well, you obviously never hit your hand with a hammer in your finger and broke a finger. Okay, you haven't done that. And you may say, well, I wouldn't say it. Okay, I'm happy for you. You can adjust your halo after the show. I got it. You know, as for me, I'm probably going to say a bad word. You know, last year I got my hand caught in a trailer hitch, broke my thumb, and I said a bad word. Now, I didn't go into a stream of cursing. I didn't use any God's name in vain. I didn't do anything, but I said a bad word. And I said, because I broke my thumb. And you think, oh, wow, you said a bad word. Yeah, okay, you can send me the emails later that I said a bad word. Now you're mad at me. Okay, I'll probably eat a donut next week, too. And I also had a chocolate chip cookie last week. And about 2 weeks ago, I had a cup of coffee. You might as well put them all on the list while you're at it, because I'm not perfect, okay? But the thing about it is that we've got to try our best to do what's right in God's eyes. All of us. So don't be praying negative things towards people, okay? The real dark psychic force that's affecting America right now is the spirit of the Antichrist trying to rebuild the third temple. Whew, I just said it. And that force is affecting a lot of Christians, and they've been manipulated into believing this stuff. Also, the dark force of adultery, of perversion, and all this other stuff that's being promoted and promulgated through the Democratic Party is also affecting America. because the energy field around the planet now, because of the human sacrifice, because of the abortion, because of all the stuff they're doing, because of the 5G network they're trying to install, all of it is what's forcing humans to start thinking this way more and more and more negatively all the time. So guys, we have to be a light and let our light so shine before men that they will glorify our Father that's in heaven. Give him honor for that. Guys, I love you, but I need to cover that with you this morning because I got a lot of people out there that are praying negative stuff about these guys for them to die and stuff, and you guys shouldn't be doing that because all that does is feed that negative energy. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. That's actually quite accurate. I mean, there's so much other stuff that we need to be focusing on, and like you said, speaking and praying for negativity over people is nothing productive or positive whatsoever. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. Capital One has now had a massive data breach among many of the other companies that we've seen over the last year. They said that more than 100 million U.S. customers have had compromising information like credit scores and credit card transaction and credit card numbers basically stolen last week, which is fantastic because this is another one that happens. And I think, I mean, this is getting to the point now where, I mean, I've dealt with the same thing with the business cards and everything, to the point now where, I mean, these cards, we're constantly canceling cards for fraud. I mean, we got to go over everything every single month in detail. And usually it's about every 1 to 2 months, there's another card with fraud on it, another card with fraud on it. And it's getting to the point where it's ironic to me because you hear about all the stuff that they constantly are trying to push about, oh, this is why you need to have a chip. This is why we need to have this. This is why we need to have a digital currency. But in reality, it seems to me that they're simply trying to push this by allowing these things to happen. Now, whether or not this is organic, true breach, which they said it was, which I, quite frankly, I don't believe half of what these guys say anymore, especially in mainstream media, especially when you're dealing with these giant banks. A lot of times, in my opinion, I've heard this from other people as well that have been in and out of the banking sector before. If some of these breaches, I can say all of them, but some of them may have been inside jobs to the point that some of these agencies and some of these credit card companies and some of these banks had people on the inside helping them out, whether or not it was for their own financial gain or it was to benefit the company or it was to get publicity or it was to be able to get more funding for more security, whatever it is, I don't know. I'm not involved in it. I've never seen it firsthand, but I've heard a lot of different theories from people that have been in and out of the banking sector on why these breaches continue to occur on a regular basis, and all of a sudden, oh, another 150 million people's information got stolen. Oh, you know, Equifax, oh, we lost another 200 million people's information. Oh, so sorry about that. And we see it happen over and over and over again, and then at the same time, we also see how much the third-party information is worth now with all of your data being sold on a regular basis. There's an app that I saw a commercial for the other day. This guy was getting this free gas card every month. He's like, oh, I got, you know, like $190 in free gas cards this month. It's great. And I was watching it, and I watched it a little bit more, and they said, all you got to do is download this app, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, based on your miles that you drive, they'll send you these free gas cards, or they'll Venmo you the money. It was some weird thing on it. Well, then I dug a little research into it, right? Because I was like, this is interesting. You know, I mean, free gas. I mean, who doesn't love free gas? But as soon as I saw that an app was attached to it, I pretty much knew where this was going. And sure enough, I did. I looked into it. And what happens is when you download the app, they get permissions granted, of course, on the app to everything. Your contacts, your transactions, your travel history as far as your movements, where you go, your phone call. Pretty much every single thing, your microphone, your data tracking, everything you do on your phone, where you go, who you talk to, where you stop at, everything has the permission granted on this app. So what they do is, and it's quite cheap for them, they give you a couple $100 a month and basically gas card so they can monitor and track everywhere you drive, every single day, everywhere you go, every place you eat, everything you buy, every person you talk to, everything you take a photo of. By the way, if you guys didn't realize that, whenever you allow the app, the permission app to media app, whenever those apps go in there and they ask you the different permissions, you have contacts, you have voice, you have all this. So when media is allowed on there, they have access to your entire photo database on your phone. Just wanted to make sure I clarify that, because a lot of people don't realize that. They have access to all of your photos on your phone, and you gave them permission to do it. And so that's what this app was all about. You basically gave them permission to your entire phone and everything you did, and they give you a couple $100 in gas cards every month. And so everyone's, oh, I get free gas, I get free gas. And I said, yeah, that's cool. But now you're going to have every single third-party company in the entire country knowing everywhere you went, every person you talked to, every photo you took, every place you ate, every restaurant you went, every single place you stopped at. And now they can completely and totally build their profile on you to start predictively programming what you are going to do next, so they can already hit you with ads and marketing before you even plan on doing those next things. And that's exactly what they're doing here. And of course, the NSA gets all the information as well. So they get to build their giant database on you on their Utah center out there, so then they can have and know every single thing you do. So if something ever goes awry and they need to find you, or they want to know what you're doing, or they want to know what you're going to do next, they will literally run your system through an algorithm. Even if you ditch your phone, even if you dump all electronics, they will put it in an algorithm, and they will look at your next probable action you're going to take, and the next place you're going to go, and the next place you're going to travel, and the next place you're going to eat, and the next person you're going to contact. And they can do a full algorithm down to a detailed scale and know everything you're about to do, even if they don't have the ability to track you on a phone anymore. I was reading about that a couple months ago with the algorithms now that they're using, with the data that they're inputting in. Once they get enough data on you, on everything you do, they can literally track and predict everything you're going to do before you're going to do it, even if you don't have a phone on you anymore. That's how good they've gotten with the algorithm. So when I hear that Capital One lost 100 million people's information, I always kind of question what really happened behind that and who's really behind it. That's just me, Deb.
You know, Austin, it's crazy, because you're right about the credit card hacks. I mean, just the other day, I mean, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I got an email from Visa, and they said, did you make this purchase at this drugstore? I mean, something like in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I'm like, no. It's like $150. Yeah, and they had to cancel the card, and they had to turn around and send me new cards. And now we've got to go through the whole statement with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that nobody else had it. So my question is this, you know, how did a person in Fairbanks, Alaska get my doggone credit card number to buy something at a drugstore for $150? And what folks don't realize is you're not required for fraudulent. If you get a fraudulent charge or your card gets hacked, you're not required to pay that. You can just say, it's not your debt. You just backcharge it, then you dispute it, and they have to prove that it was you, and they have to produce a signature and all that kind of stuff. So you don't get stuck paying the bill, but, you know, somebody gets stuck paying the bill. And the thing about it is that you have to ask yourself a question. Where are they getting all this information? You know, I told you a story a few weeks ago. I'm going to tell it to you one more time in brief, as we're covering this topic right now. I was buying a truck a few weeks ago, and I was basically they were giving me an extra. I had to unlock my credit to get my doggone truck approved, because, like, I keep my credit locked so people can't hack into my credit base, my credit information. And then the guy, and I called up like three or four different reps to unlock my credit for like 3 days to get this loan to go through. And they kept asking me all these questions, like, dude, what were your credit cards that you had, you know, 30 years ago? Did you ever have a Sears card? What was the balance on the Sears card? Like, what the heck? 30 years ago, I had a Sears card. I remember the balance. Now, even with memory support, my brain's not that good. All right. It's just, you know, these bills were paid 30 years ago. How do I remember what they were? And because I couldn't answer those questions, they would not unlock my credit. Now, listen to me. I went through four reps, including two supervisors, and they would not unlock my credit. And finally, I said to the one guy, you're data mining me. I said, you're bringing in information for me that you don't have in my credit report that you're going to sell to a third party. He goes, oh, no, we wouldn't do that. I said, no, you wouldn't do that. You're an individual. You're just following the rules. I said, I'm telling you, I'm being data mined. I said, why do you care what my credit card was 30 years ago? Why do you care about what my minimum payments are every month? Why do you care about any of this stuff? I mean, I've given you a PIN number to unlock my credit. You know it's me. I've given you my information along with my Social Security number. I said, all you're doing is asking me other information to build a profile on me. And finally, he got kind of squeamish and transferred me to a supervisor, and which did the same thing. And I just went through four people. Finally, I got a supervisor, and I was pitching a fit, because, I mean, I couldn't get the truck, right? Couldn't get the truck. And finally, I said, this is stupid. I said, you know, you gave me a PIN number. She goes, oh, well, you know, you need to send us your last five utility bills, your last five, and all these crazy stuff to prove that it's you and you want this credit unlocked. I said, I'm trying to get a truck deal approved right now. Now, here's number one reason they were doing that. They were data mining me. Here's number two reason. they were making it so difficult for me to unlock my credit that once I got it unlocked, I'd leave it unlocked so they could sell data information on me to all these different credit card companies and everybody else. I'm telling you guys, that's what this whole thing's all about. So I finally pitched a fit, said I was writing consumer affairs in Washington, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I just said I've had it. And then she goes, oh, well, you know, if you want to make it easier on yourself, just call this 800 number and hit number two, prompt two, and then give them the security, your security code, your PIN number, and they'll unlock your credit for you. It'll take like 2 minutes. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me that to start with? Why didn't you tell me that before I went through five reps? Oh, well, you know, we're giving you the information now. Think about what I just said. They knew what they were doing. They could have given me that information when I first called. It could have been one of the voice prompts on the phone number I called. They had changed the phone number on the letter they had sent me with the PIN number and had me call this data gathering stuff in the Philippines. You can understand these people with their doggone accents. And all they wanted to do was yank my chain. And they never, ever released and opened my credit report until I called the other number and did it with the PIN number. It was all about making it so difficult to have your credit frozen that you unfreeze it. It was all about gathering information on you to build a bigger profile on you. That's all these guys do. Remember, they don't see you as a human. They see you as a loaf of bread. They could eat, consume, or whatever. That's all they see you as. Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who he may devour. The word tells us how they see you. They don't see you as an individual. They don't think you have any rights. They think that you're just a giving unit, a taking unit that you can go, they can take your stuff. That's how they see you. And that's how they treat you. And you can't allow them to do that to you. It's just no good. See, and this is something that we need to understand. These guys are basically, you know, just bad. They're evil. Another article here. It says big companies all over America are reporting disastrous financial reports. If the U.S. economy really is booming, then corporate earnings would be rising, but that isn't happening. In fact, we haven't seen corporate earnings fall like this since the last recession. They fell during the first quarter of this year, and based on the results we have so far, it appears that corporate earnings will be down substantially again, like we saw with the Gillette, the second quarter. When corporate earnings drop for two quarters in a row, that's officially considered an earnings recession, and that normally occurs just before the overall economy plunges into recession territory. As things get tighter for corporate giants, we should expect a lot more layoffs in the months ahead, and the unemployment rate should start rising up again. In other words, it looks like our economic problems are about to accelerate substantially. Now, let's talk about that for a second. Why is it that we have this quote-unquote, they're saying that our GDP is up by almost 3%? You know, why are we saying that? Guys, it's because of interlocking corporate directorships and mergers and acquisitions and all the other stuff that they're doing, and because of the loose fiscal policy of the Fed that we've had for the past 10 years. All of this stuff is finally starting to catch up with the overall economy. And see, when you have all this money sloshing around here in the economy with this M1 money supply, it has to create a lot of different types of jobs, housing booms, etc. Now, with the Fed lowering interest rates, it's going to push the housing market even hotter than it is right now, which is already ridiculous. And it's all for one reason only. Listen to me. I told you this the other day, to get Donald Trump reelected, because he's so pro-rebuilding the Third Temple. That's the reason this is all happening. Remember, his father, I told this yesterday, his best friend, you know, when he was young, was an openly gay guy named Cohen in New York City. We talked about this. Whose father was also one of the head guys with the Masonic Lodges globally. The Masonic Lodges are absolutely just, they're absolutely just bent on rebuilding this Third Temple because it's part of their worship stuff that they do and they're involved in. Guys, this is what's going on with the economy. Now, after Trump gets reelected, you know, in a year and a half, when he gets back into the White House, what's going to happen is we're going to see some crazy stuff start happening with the economy, because at that point, you know, he can't run another four more years. That'll be the end of his 8 years after that fourth term. And we'll see if Trump really will start doing things that he's supposed to do as far as what he said he was going to do, you know, or if it's going to just get worse as far as what he's doing as far as promoting all of this crazy stuff. Remember, he's super pro-homosexual and gay. Trump is. Okay? Not Trump's family, Trump. I don't know what his family believes, but I'm sure his daughter is too, because, you know, she's a hardcore Shabbatist. But guys, it's so important to understand this president. It's almost like this, and I'm going to use this analogy. When the Israelites in the old days wanted a king, they decided they wanted to have King Saul. You know, and God said, you know, you guys really don't want a king. And they said, yeah, we really do want a king. And he said, no, you don't. Yeah, you do. So we went back and forth. Finally, they ended up basically anointing King Saul. who turns out to be this nutbag. I mean, David has to run around playing a doggone, you know, harp to try to calm the guy down because he's going into fits of rage, throwing spears at people. The guy's nuts, okay? That's what they got with him because they wanted a king. Because God said, you know, this, I will be the Lord thy God. I will lead you, blah, blah, blah. And, but they didn't do that. They wanted to have their king. So God didn't get his... They did what they wanted to do, their wicked ways, and they ended up getting Saul. And then they ended up getting David, then we ended up getting Bathsheba, then we ended up getting Uriah the Hittite killed, then we ended up with Solomon, who was a Satanist after he fell away and came back later in his life. I mean, when you step away from God's word and you want a king, and these, a lot of people, I'm so careful with what I say. I know that we didn't want the witch of Benghazi in the White House. I got that, okay? I don't need to have that here. That email doesn't need to be told to me anymore. I'm done. We're past that. We're 2.5 years into a presidency of a guy who basically is not doing what he said he was going to do, who basically has capitulated, who no telling what they have on him with Jeffrey Epstein, and on and on and on and on and on. All of this stuff, right? Stop making excuses for this guy. Hold his feet to the fire. Stop following him with blinders on, with a dazed look in your eyes like, this guy's great. Stop doing what we did with George W. Bush. I mean, we basically supported that guy all the way through, almost, you know, starting that giant war in the Middle East, which is still going on, with thousands dead, millions dead on the other side. And we still, okay, let's support him, let's support him, let's support him, until finally got to the point where everybody hated him so much, they put Barack Hussein Obama, the gay Kenyan, in the White House with his transgender wife, according to Joan Rivers. And this is exactly what we ended up with. And now all of a sudden, they sling it back the other way on us. They give us this absolutely horrible candidate with Hillary Clinton. They give us a communist with Bernie Sanders. And then they give us Donald Trump. And we go, oh my gosh, we can't put a communist in. We can't put Hillary in the witch of Benghazi. I don't know. We're going to put Trump in. And he preaches, and he knows. He knows what to say. He comes in, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. But then they tell us they want to be the most openly pro-homosexual, you know, presidency in the history of the White House. What the heck? How does that tie in with Christianity? How is that okay? How is any of that okay? Guys, you gotta look at what they do, not what they say. Because their walk talks louder than their talk talks. But Christians have to wake up. And I'm not saying that we're not gonna have to vote for Trump again. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they're not gonna put some other nutbag on the other side. Joe Biden, the pedophile, we wanna put him in the White House. Yeah, that's a pervert. There we go. I mean, what the heck? Do they... Nancy Pelosi, the mummy, she's like a cadaver, for heaven's sake. She's awful. I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, who are we going to put in there? See, this is what we have to understand. As these guys control both sides of the narrative, and this is the only show that ever talks about what Otto Kahn said back in the 20s. They control both sides of the narrative. They control the yin and the yang. They direct the course of this planet because they hold it by its axis because they control the money supply. This is who controls the planet. So you get the good and the bad, and the good and the bad and the ugly, and they twist you. They twist you, just like they've done with Hollywood, their atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ. They twist you into accepting their narrative, and you can't allow them to do that. I mean, I could go through 25 news stories this morning from Drudge, all the weirdo stuff that Drudge puts up all the time. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you what's really happening. And we need to understand that you've got to stay out of debt to the best of your ability. You've got to be prepped up to the best of your ability. You've got to have some... your food stored to the best of your ability, water stored. You got to have some supplements taken care of and stored. You got to have all of this stuff. Because if this stuff ever goes sideways and we have a supply line chain disruption, you've got to be able to take care of your family. You say, well, that may never happen. No, the book of Revelation says it's going to happen. And if it says it in the Word, it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when these seals are going to start popping in the book of Revelation. But guys, it's going to be so important that we understand that we have to maintain our relationship with God and with Christ. We have to maintain that. All right, Austin, what do you think?
Great info. Yeah, and I mean, and what we've seen too, I mean, with this whole rhetoric back and forth with everything at the border, and I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this. I mentioned it briefly last week, but I really kind of went into some more research into it this week, especially after I saw Dave Hodges pull some stuff up as well on, you know, we've heard all this stuff, how all this stuff, we're stopping this at the border, we're stopping this at the border. Well, now we've seen another 16 Marines were arrested during formation at Camp Pendleton last week because they're being charged with human smuggling and basically child sex trafficking across the border. They first reported the news that two Camp Pendleton Marines were arrested earlier this month and accused of transporting illegal migrants along the U.S.-Mexico border toward Tecaki. According to a federal complaint obtained, the undocumented immigrants told border agents they agreed to pay the Marines $8,000 to take them north from the border to Los Angeles. Well, those two Marines essentially opened their mouths about what was going on. Another 16 Marines. So now 18 Marines from Camp Pendleton have now been arrested for anywhere from human smuggling to drug trafficking to child sex trafficking. Now, of course, the mainstream media has pretty much talked about this virtually none. The only agency that I saw that brought it up was essentially NBC San Diego and maybe a few other small ones on there. But that's what the U.S. military and some factions of it have been completely infiltrated by gang members, by individuals that are doing the bidding of the globalists. We've talked about this in detail before. There were articles about this a decade ago that I was reading, talking about how a lot of gang members were joining the Marine Corps so they could get essentially unmatched weapons tactics and tactical training and deploy over in the sandbox and come back after the deployment, basically go back in gangs and teach the gangs as far as how they engaged in urban warfare and ground fighting. This was not uncommon at all. There was a shootout, I think it was 12 years ago, out in, where was it? I think it was towards Arizona. And it was caught on surveillance camera. And it was a Marine that was basically honorably discharged. And apparently they did the research after he got in this gunfight. And he was a big part of the gang out there. Ended up going in the Marine Corps, deployed, came back, ended up doing something, got in a gunfight. And you can see him on video. And he's got an M4. And, I mean, he's surgical with it. I mean, he completely opens up the law enforcement that were the first responders there until SWAT showed up. And this is what they've talked about for years, and now we're starting to see it come to light when we have 18 Marines at Camp Pendleton basically getting arrested for trafficking, whether it be child trafficking, whether it be human smuggling. I think it's all across the board, and I think this is just a drop in the bucket. I mean, if you think a couple privates and corporals were involved in this and nobody else knew what was going on, we got our head in the sand, guys. I think this is rampant down there. I think the U.S. military is facilitating, not all of them, but I think a huge portion of it is facilitating this massive influx because that's what they're supposed to do. The same way how we have Border Patrol agents now we've seen that have been helping migrants come in, handing them food, water, bringing them in, giving them clothing, giving them a shelter, putting them in these bases, allowing them to be transported anywhere in the United States pretty much. This is going on. And again, we hear the rhetoric about, oh, we're having another million illegals are going to be detained now. They're going to be deported. Okay, that's cool. I still haven't seen any of that. Then you'll see a video or two of, you know, a couple migrants getting arrested or detained or 30 individuals being deported. And they go, it's starting now. Is this kind of the way that we're going to have 100,000 sealed indictments we're going to open up, right? And we're going to have all these people and factions of the government basically going to these military tribunals. You know, so all this stuff was going to happen with the deep state that's been going on for the last 2 years now and stuff. Nothing's happened whatsoever at all. You know, there may have been things happen on the backside. What I do know now is the same thing we've warned about. One of the big attorneys for Jeffrey Epstein's victims, one of the girls, an attorney for one of the girls that he allegedly had as a child sex ring, basically slave, has now put it out there that he said he is in great concern for Epstein's life, and he thinks they need to put more security out there for him. He went on to say Spencer Cooman doubts that Epstein's recent injuries in jail were a suicide attempt. He said, I question whether or not it was a true suicide attempt that was involved in jail, or whether or not there's very powerful people that do not want him to talk. He said he questioned how Epstein could have choked himself, saying there's no doubt in my mind that no jail will protect him where there's powerful people that want to reach you. He said even if Epstein is kept away from general prison population, there's still people that can get to him ultimately. Kevin even speculated whether Epstein would survive to make his upcoming trial, comparing the situations in the 1959 Profuma affair, where socialite Stephen Ward was put on trial for procuring young women for the British elite, but allegedly killed himself before the verdict was ever announced and the trial basically was dropped. He said now he's afraid that that's going to happen with Epstein, which we talked about that months ago when all this stuff came out, that I highly doubt he will ever testify. This guy's going to disappear. They're going to drop kick him, and that's more than likely what's going to happen. Now this attorney's coming out and saying that now. They don't want Epstein coming out and talking about it. That's why, you notice, nobody's talking about the mainstream media about Epstein anymore. It's gone, like, totally black. Nothing. Oh, he's in jail now. They're going to do some more trial. We'll see what happens in the future. And it's going to go silent. And as soon as he gets killed, it'll make a couple brief headlines, and then it'll completely and totally disappear, and it'll be like it never happened. It'll be foreboding. What are you talking about? Jeffrey Epstein? Who's that? Oh, yeah, that's that one guy. He raped a girl. He ended up killing himself. Yeah, that guy. Nobody will ever talk about it again. And that's what the mainstream does so well, is completely and totally control the narrative. And back to one thing that Dad said a second ago, I wanted to kind of touch base on this real quick while he was talking about it. The leading indicator of remodeling activity now published a study now on the futures program, and they said they expect home improvement expenditures to plunge to 0.4% by late spring 2020, which will be almost a 7% drop. They said that they think the structural slowdown is going to spread like cancer in the broader economy starting in the beginning of 2020 and basically work its way down to the end of next year. Now, whether or not this actually goes through, I don't know. I do know that we've seen, even from Realtors Association, that existing homes now are pretty much flat as far as in sales. There's been no more growth in the United States. And if you look at the numbers, one of the only reasons why we're actually even seeing any type of positive growth or even flat curve right now is because of the good old Sunshine State, Florida. I have no people that live out in California, Washington, Texas, up in the Northeast, everywhere. And majority of the home sales right now, some areas of the United States, they're still moving along a little bit, but a lot of areas right now, they're flattening out. Stuff isn't selling. Stuff isn't moving. Unless, you know, there's some of the basic track homes that they're still cookie-cuttering out and trying to move as fast as they can. The only state that's actually got ridiculous growth curve is Florida. Everybody's moving to Florida, and these doggone developers can't build the houses fast enough and overwhelm this giant state, which makes me, honestly, I'll be quite honest with you guys right now, it makes me really wonder what their plans are for Florida. We know that the whole entire south region of the state of Florida is blue during the voting times. We know that Florida is a massive swing state, and it appears to me that if they're not doing it as far as they're trying to facilitate to get as many people into Florida, including, and I'm not hating on anybody, I've already said this before, we know that they brought 300,000 Puerto Ricans and relocated them here after the hurricane in the state of Florida now. Again, I have no problem with Puerto Ricans. I know a lot of them. The problem is the infrastructure in Florida can't handle what we're currently seeing right now. I-4, the Interstate 4, is literally a gridlock parking lot every single day. There's accidents on it up and down all day long. It's standstill parking all day long. But yet nobody's discussing that. They're not talking about how the housing boom is growing so fast that literally they can't bring enough people down here to move them in. But yet the schools, the roads, all the other infrastructure, including the hospitals, literally can't take the massive influx that we're getting right now. But that doesn't matter. They want more people to move down here. And of course, that's also keeping the numbers elevated for the national average for the total house sales, solely because Florida's in an absolute boondoggle with sales right now, with houses and apartments and everything else they're building right now. So understand that. Be very careful with a lot of these refinances that I've seen right now. I've known that. I'm not giving any medical or any financial advice. What I'm saying, I know a lot of people that are in the housing market right now and mortgage markets and all that. The only best thing to do right now, and a lot of people are doing this, if you got, you know, a 30-year mortgage and you've already been on it for 10 years and you got a lot of equity in it and you can refinance it for a much lower rate and take it down to like a 15-year term, a lot of people are doing that from a smart standpoint and actually lowering their payments with their equity and also reducing the amount of time that they have left on their mortgage. That's not a bad idea. But I know a lot of people that have also gone the opposite direction. They've been paying 10 years on a mortgage. They're refinancing it for a 30-year, so they can get a much lower payment on it. So be aware of that. Understand. Do the best financial decision that you can do for you right now. But be aware as well this market's very, very volatile right now, and a lot of people are going to get caught with their hand in the cookie jar, just like they did in 2008, if they keep ATM in these houses like they did back then, and refinancing them and pulling all this equity out, all this equity out, all this equity out, and blowing all this cash all the time. So just something I wanted to add in on top of that right now, because we are in a massive housing bubble, regardless if anybody wants to admit it or not. The same people that were all, oh, it's not a bubble, it's going to keep growing like this, it's not going to stop in 2007 that I talked to when I was literally at the end of my college, you know, bachelor's degree, and of course, all those same people got slapped in the face in 2008. Those same people and a lot of similar people like them are saying the same rhetoric right now in 2019, and I think by the end of 2020, as Dad already called it out, I think we're going to see a massive correction in the market again. That's just my opinion.
Austin, one thing you said you said a lot of stuff that was correct, but one thing that I really like is that you said if you have equity in your house and you can use that equity to buy down the mortgage and to basically get a shorter term with the same payments to get it paid off more quickly, do that. Also, I will say one other thing. If you could do that and get rid of your installment debt credit cards and get rid of all of those at the same time, lower your house payment and get rid of your installment debt credit cards and don't start financing back on those again, that's the way to go. And then you'll have the house paid off in 15 years and it'll get rid of the credit cards and all the high interest at the same time with those cards. So just learn to use that system. Learn to use that whole thing with the credit cards and the equity and all the other thing to make good decisions, not to get further into debt. Really, really important, guys. In other words, don't go out and get $100,000 out of your house or $50,000 out of your house and go use that for 10 different down payments for 10 different more things to buy 10 different more. Don't go buy a boat and all the other stuff that you might want, or a camper and all the other stuff that you want with a down payment. Or you blow it on vacations. Don't do that. Just get the debt. Get the debt under control. By the way, California is now requiring Trump to release tax returns for the spot on the primary ballot. The president lawyer threatens court challenge, which is exactly what will happen. And those will never be released because they don't want us to know that he doesn't have the kind of money that he says that he does, because they've already painted this mystique over him like they did Jeffrey Epstein being a billionaire. And I don't think Trump is a billionaire on paper as far as in a net worth. Now, he may be worth a lot of money, but it all depends on what his assets could be sold for compared to the debt. By the way, Katy Perry's Dark Horse copied a Christian rap song. Guys, Katy Perry should have stayed in the Christian fold. And when she came out on that video and said she sold her soul to the devil, that's about all I can say for that girl. I feel sorry for her. I just hope she gets saved or get right or whatever she can do, or she can get right back right with God. I hope God has mercy on her. By the way, a 79-year-old woman from Ohio will have to spend 10 days in jail for feeding stray cats. You know, I threw this one in here because it was a funny one, and I don't know why they want to put an 80-year-old or a 79-year-old in jail for feeding stray cats. Don't get me wrong, I don't necessarily care for stray cats, especially feral cats, but, you know, I mean, it seems like they'd have something better to do with their time than to put somebody in jail for feeding a few stray cats. I just thought I would mention that. By the way, the global elites are taking their private jets and yachts to the climate summit once again, which I always get a kick out of that. I mean, you know, you get these jets that are very inefficient. Now, I will say this. You get like a Gulfstream 5 and you're putting 30 or 40 people on it, set up for rows and whatever. That's going to be expensive, but it's probably not going to cost a whole lot more than a bunch of first-class tickets over to Europe. But you start taking these big old planes and these big old yachts and you got one person on them or two people on them, no, and it doesn't make any sense. By the way, Google's co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin have invited a who's who of A-list names, including former president the Gay Kenyon, Prince Harry, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Katy Perry, you know, the great Satanist, to their annual deluxe climate chat, according to a New York Post. Each and every one charged with the responsibility of helping the rest of humanity finding ways to do climate change. So I just thought you guys would get a kick of all these private jets that are flying over there for private, you know, for things. Because, you know, there's a lot of ways you can travel pretty efficiently without flying in a Gulfstream 6 with one person on it. I just thought I'd mention that. But I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for all the incredible emails and texts you've been sending me. You guys rock. I mean, I appreciate it. And I want you to know something. So many of you have encouraged me to keep the show Christ-centered. I will do that. You don't have to worry about me not doing that. This show will stay Christ-centered. Now, I have a lot of people have contacted me in the past. Your show's got too much about Jesus and too much about Christ in it. We're not going to listen to it because it's too religious. It's too preachy. My response is, okay, go listen to some heathen do a broadcast who likes to cuss all the time. Yeah, I just said that, didn't I? I'm not going to compromise that. Guys, I have such a good relationship with God, and my covenant is with Him through Christ, through the blood of the Lamb. And I want you guys to know how I feel and what I feel in the relationship that I have by, in my prayer time. I want you guys to feel that because it'll change the world. So I want you guys to feel that. So for me not to talk about that would be like me compromising to the point of just absolutely insanity. I'm not going to do it. So I love you guys. Thanks for the great emails and phone calls and all the other stuff that you do with me all the time. I love you. I appreciate you. Also, I'll do the write-up. Go ahead and finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. And one thing that I thought is ironic, I saw that article too, one of our friends sent us, with the climate people and all their jets and all their yachts and everything, is that they continue to tell everybody, and this is the irony of it, they continue to always spew this rhetoric how we need to be green and we don't need to use these things and we need to go completely green and we need to cut back on emissions. And then they turn around, like he said, and they fly around in these big private planes. And in most cases, they don't run 20 or 30 people in them. It's them and a couple buddies, and they're running around on these massive gas guzzler private jets, which to me, I don't care. If you have that kind of money and you want to fly around in a jet, do it. If I had that kind of money and I'm worth, you know, $500 million, I'd probably have a private jet too and I'd fly around. But don't sit there and lecture me about my lifestyle when I drive around in one truck and live in Auburndale and keep to myself, and you fly around in multiple private jets and yachts all around the country and then want to tell me that I don't have a right to drive a truck because I'm putting too much pollution out there while you jet off in a G6 on a regular basis. That's the aspect and the irony that's really funny about it, that everybody's sick of hearing from all these bozos that want to tell people what to do with their life and time and money and energy and everything else, but then completely contradict what they tell everybody to do. So that's the funny part about it. Thank you guys for the support. Be sure if you need anything, check out healthmasters.com. I know a lot of you guys support us just by buying a bottle of Ultimate Multiple or even signing up for our free weekly newsletter. We appreciate all of it. Be sure to check out the product of the week. It looks like the Magnesium and Malic Acid Capsules 1 product of the week, which is awesome. That's a really, really good product. That's our magnesium formula in capsule form. So be sure to check that out. That'll be going up here very, very shortly. And also, too, be sure to check out some of the other specials that we have on the website at healthmasters.com. I'm going to have a few new kits and specials that I'm going to be putting up and putting together over the next couple days, so be sure to check the website out for that. If you need anything, please feel free to call us, 1-800-726-1834, or you check out the website at healthmasters.com, or send us an email that you have, basically any questions you have about our supplements or protocols and whatnot. You can email us as well at healthmasters.com under the contact form on that website. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you for everything you do. Stay awake. Stay prepared. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.